the way to increase that communication is to consciously ask a question. So therefore, the higher mind will then... The higher mind gives an answer to the question, but we don't know the question. So the dream, we don't understand the connection. But when we articulate a question, when we put an intention of a question, then we know our question, and then the higher mind answers that question in our dream, as the dream. The dream is the answer to that question. And so, one way to empower the dream work is for us to consciously know that question and the answers. And then, when the answer we get, the dream is not the answer. The dream is our cognitive identity-type reaction to the answer. And so this is what we get in the dream. So interpreting our reaction is of minimal value. In dream work, we're trying to get to this place. Everything, we're trying to get to what we've been reacting to. And so the dream itself is simply a map that points us to this intuitive part. And so when you do dream work, someone says, oh, I was afraid of this guy. And you say, well, you're thinking, that's the reaction. What is that a reaction to? So you're trying to point us to this space. And so once we get to this space, then what? Then there's an opportunity to get into that direct communication with the higher mind. And I suppose, and this is where I'm not clear, once that communication, that rapport is established, it starts to illumine our human self, and the two come together to reach a higher. That's my articulation of it at this point, and I got this understanding last time we were here, so I'm not sure. I mean, it's a lot, but not asking you to correct the whole thing, but if there's any glaring errors in that, you know, that you see. Anyway, I put that out.
I don't see any glaring error in there. I don't see any dim error either. I would say that this direct communication that you're alluding to is it's a kind of a nice way to say it.
Becoming conscious of the
dream. Yeah, right. But the direct communication is nonverbal.
Right.
And why is it that we get nonverbal? Why is it the communication of reality has to be nonverbal? Because reality is big and words are little.
You know what I like about what you said is
louder, Aaron, please.
What I like about what Jonathan said is identifying the dream as a vehicle,
yeah,
rather than the answer, which is what you. What I when we
the answer is
dream,
inside of you.
Yeah,
the answer is inside.
Yeah.
The answer is in the mind.
Yeah, and
the answer is not. And dreams are thoughts. Dreams are thoughts and intuitions, and they're juxtaposed to each other. And as thoughts and intuitions appear, they appear to me. They appear to the identity. And a thought that I believe changes me into the shape of that thought. The intuition that I believe changes me into the shape of that intuition, pulls me out of the thought. When I believe an intuition, it pulls me out of the thought because the intuition is paradoxically shaped to the thought in such a way that you can't believe the thought and the intuition simultaneously. Whenever you go back to reacting with the thought after you have accepted the intuition, then what you're doing is you're literally physically blending a thought and an intuition together, and they're incompatible, they're incongruent, as to speak in mathematical language. A thought and an intuition cannot be congruent, and so they can't blend, they can't mix, they can't melt. And when you mix them after reaction, what happens is you get completely confused with the confusion of the thought and the intuition. So thought and intuition are a very interesting construct in the mind. And why did the Creator create this thing this way? And why is it that nobody knows this? Why is it that nobody talks about this way? And I talk about it this way, and I work with it in this way, in which you guys are all having experiences over and over and over again that demonstrate that what I'm saying is actually real. And some people say, oh my God, you know, I have more transformation out of a week of dream work than I get out of 15 years of meditation. Or a guy says, I get more out of a weekend dream work workshop than I got out of 15 years of psychoanalysis. And so on. And why is it that the dream, why is it that this has such a powerful influence on the I? Why is it that the dream work has such a powerful influence on educating the I about who I am and what I'm doing here? Why is that? And I believe that it's because this theory that I have of the juxtaposition of two incompatible ways of thinking, and one is a higher hypothesis to the other one, that actually when I want to believe it, it pulls me out and disconnects me from what I believe to such an extent that I come into direct communication with that creative intelligence that made me, and that it seems to be making everything, although this is a pretty big place that we live in this universe, and I understand that there's infinite numbers of universes like this, and so all that makes it pretty hard to grasp all of this, and who am I, and what am I doing here, and all of that, but I don't think that I have said anything that contradicted anything that
No, what I think you added was the point that I really didn't articulate or really didn't see is when the two, your belief, your creative power, I believe, if I believe my thought, I'm contracted to that level. If I believe my intuition, it comes down to the power of choice in what you believe.
Hello?
You're the one who makes the determination, your belief, your power in belief.
Yeah. So you cut off the flow from the divine when you do that. As soon as you start believing your thought, you cut
off
the
divine. No. You're always the divine in the contracted form.
Contracted.
Yeah.
You've chosen to contract.
Right. Sorry, Jonathan, did you say anything after I left?
You're in the more limited. That's what I mean. Cutting off the pure communication.
I was talking about, you were saying, why does it have so much power? We have the divine power, which we don't know. When we choose to believe in a thought, we choose to live in a limited dimension of that thought. Likewise, if we choose to believe in the intuition, that's not the end of the thing, but that we choose, our belief is the unknown to us. Our belief is the alchemy, is the power in this whole thing. I believe I'm stupid. Boo, you're stupid. I believe I'm great. Poof, I believe in the thought.
Yeah.
So ultimately, the power is within us, but where are we displacing it to? Do we use our power to limit ourselves, or do we use our power? And humankind, 99.9, we use our power to limit ourselves so much, we don't even know.
Yeah, but see, we don't do that. It's done for us. We don't identify with the identity type.
Right.
Because we want to. We do that because we're forced to.
We're born into.
Because we have to.
Right.
It's the way that it is set up.
Right.
And we cannot identify with the intuition. It just isn't possible. And even when we go and we try to believe in the intuition, and that pulls our identity out of the thought, we can't actually become shaped by the intuition, because on the way to the intuition, we get caught in this free space between the thought and the intuition, which is the I consciousness. And we get trapped there, and we can't move any further towards the intuition. And at that time, we lose interest in both the intuition and the
suspension of all belief altogether.
And
we believe
thought.
This, all, we try all, to believe this, and all belief is gone, and here we are.
Yeah. Okay, so this theory of the function of human consciousness inside of the human mind is a theory that I have developed out of a whole bunch of other work. And the one that has made it most possible for me to see this as clearly as I do is Lyndon LaRouche and his he wrote a paper back in the 80s called The Science of Mind. And it's based on Dante Alighieri's awareness of human consciousness. And, of course, it goes back to Socrates and Plato. It has to do with Nicholas Sucuza. It has to do with the... whoever wrote Kalabata.
Abhinavagupta
or... Who wrote Spandakarikas?
No, not the Spandakarikas. Yeah, the Spandakarikas. Whoever wrote the Spandakarikas. Because that scripture right there manifests the nature of my theory of the mind better than any other single document. Mm-hmm. And this book with this translation of the Spandakarikas is the best translation. It's the most useful for me to understand the dream work when I do that. Okay, so now we've gone through all of this and we keep going through it. So it's a pretty profound thing that we're doing here.
Without doubt.
And nobody has to tell you, I mean, you don't have to believe me that the dream work works. You know that for yourself. Whenever I take you through a process and you experience that freedom that you experience from what you believe, the thought that you believe, then you know it. I mean, you're in direct contact, like Jonathan said. You're in direct contact with that, what I call eye consciousness in there. And just to round this up, I do want to say that the dream is responding to your belief in a thought, that every single dream is set up this way, that it shows you in your relationship to what you believe, and then it introduces something into that equation which surprises you. And that is the key. That's the key for recognizing how life is always trying to break you out of the prison of belief in a concept. Every single surprise is an invitation from that reality for you to go to the unbounded awareness. From the finite bounded awareness to the, I don't know whether it's infinite, it's not infinite, but it's at least unbounded. Infinite is too big. You know, infinite is Shiva. Infinite is Shiva. Even Shiva doesn't know what the hell that means. And this is why the Kundalini, the way that we understand Kashmir Shaivism, the Kundalini...
He's finding out, but he'll never know, right?
He'll never know. Endless. He's so great that he can't know it. So she set this whole thing up to show him this way and that way and that way, and in this circumstance and that situation, how great he is. And I think that our human life, this is my concept, that our human life is just about Shiva experiencing his own greatness over and over and over and over again. And that it doesn't amount to anything more, and it also doesn't amount to anything less than that. That it's a very significant process to be born into a human body and to be able to have this experience of the greatness of God that we have over and over and over again. And the dream work is wonderful to me because it gives us such a...
Tangible.
We get a real palpable experience of that, rather than just a fleeting, infinitesimal experience of it that gets covered up in a reaction right away. Because the mind reacts against this freedom that we experience, that we're basically confused most of the time, involved with the reaction in our mind. And so the dream work then is a process of learning that what you believe is what gets you into trouble. And what you believe also gets you into freedom. Because you can't have an intuition if you don't believe a thought. So you get hell if you do and hell if you don't.
You can't just suspend thought.
Huh?
I mean, can't you just suspend your beliefs? I mean...
What?
Can't you just suspend having beliefs? Like,
you suspend having belief and thought, you're dead.
Well, no, you can have thought. But you can have thought.
You can have thought, but you'll never have an intuition if you don't believe it.
Okay, I didn't...
If you don't believe a thought, you'll never have an intuition. You don't have intuitions according to every thought that you think.
So you have to commit to you have to have a belief about a thought before an intuition can be.
Yeah.
Can appear.
This is my experience. I don't know that this is true.
Yeah, give me an example.
But I
need an example of a belief in a concept. And then you know, like, oh, I need to cut the grass. Is that an example?
Yeah. I gotta cut the grass.
Yeah.
I gotta go get my car inspected this morning.
Yeah.
I
believe that I have to cut the grass.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and that grass isn't going to get cut if I don't do it.
This is so mundane.
Uh-huh. That's what every thought.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have to lie in bed longer. I'm too tired. I can't get up right now. Okay. I need a drink of water.
You guys can have thoughts, but whenever the I is involved, then there's a belief. I've got to do this. I need to get my car inspected. I have to sleep.
So I'm not concerned about anything. I watch the news and most of what they say there, I don't care about it. And sometimes I do care about it. And then I get involved in wanting to go down and kill Tony Hayward, you know.
So how do you explain...
He's ahead of BP.
I was thinking of having to do with a golf, yeah.
Sometimes, though, dreams... do project what's going to happen in reality. And for instance, Bill Little's dream that Red Rover was going to win. That was telling him what to do almost. And there's many examples of people in history that have had dreams that come true that are telling them about the waking state. Yesterday, Saturday night, I had a dream. And we went through it on yesterday. and it was at the end of the dream, there was a menacing dog that came into my field of vision at the end of the dream. And there was some unseen monster in the dream. And so we went through it, and of course there was a surprise. But I don't know, I mean... I went over to a friend's house and I got attacked by a freaking dog yesterday.
And what were you doing to aggravate the dog?
Nothing, I was sitting.
Were you doing to aggravate the dog?
I was sitting.
You were afraid of the dog.
No, I wasn't.
No, wait a second. Hold on a second.
No, but that's not the point. The point is the dream is showing me a menacing dog. And I didn't take that into account.
You didn't take what into account?
Not to go over there. You know?
Are you okay? Did you get
hurt? Yeah, I'm okay, but he
You were sitting there and he just like...
Yes.
Whoa.
It bit him in the arm and it bit him right here.
Really?
What kind of dog was it?
It was a German Shepherd.
Jeez. It was a crazy dog.
Is it your friend's
dog? Yeah, it was a crazy dog.
Did it bit anyone regularly or...?
Yeah, it's bitten two other people and she's going to get rid of it now.
Okay,
yeah.
So now Dominic said... That a dream is
showing reality,
portending the future. I woke up this morning from a dream in which I saw Ananda Dhillon in the dream. And this Ananda Dhillon is a guy who I know, who I've been trying to communicate with for over a year unsuccessfully. And in the dream, he walks into the room and he's got a completely different face and a completely different body than the Ananda Dhillon that I know. But I knew that was Ananda Dhillon. But it didn't look like him. It didn't seem like him in any way except that I knew it was him. So I come out and I get into my email, and here's an email from Ananda Dhillon saying, hey, have you got time to talk?
Wow.
You know, and we've been trying to communicate now for a year. Okay. So intuition... is always about the future. The thoughts and intuitions come to us in order to move us towards something. Thoughts move us towards physical reality. Intuitions move us towards spiritual reality. And so thoughts and intuitions are about mind and body. Thoughts and intuitions are about the eternal and the mortal side of our existence. And so intuitions are always telling you about the future. Now, when Bill Little had the dream that showed him the horse race, you have to understand that Bill Little was an atheist, and he was a Thomas Hobbesian material empiricist who believed that the universe was a bunch of balls bouncing off of each other randomly, and that there was no intelligence guiding it, and that there was no way of predicting the future. And so with Bill Little believing that everything is an accident, and that there's no intelligence, and that there's no way to see the future, he got a dream about a future race. And then the race happened the way that he saw it. So I don't say that the dreams are not to portend the future. Yeah. Of course they are.
Yeah.
That's all they are. Dreams are guiding you into the future, out of the physical circumstances that you're in right now, because life is about change. The only thing that's permanent is change, right? That was who said that? Jonathan, the ancient Greek Heraclitus?
Yeah, well, I don't know who it was.
Well, Heraclitus said the only thing that's permanent is change. So what are we changing? We're changing from one physical condition to a new one. And how is that guided? It's guided by spirit. It's guided by mind. It's guided by intelligence. Okay, when we experience this in the dream work, does that have any influence on an atheist?
Why not?
An atheist comes into the dream work and experiences, oh my God, there's an intelligence that's guiding me from present circumstances into the future. That not only can tell me about a future event that's going to happen, that's going to unfold pretty much the way that it appeared in my dream, but that is guiding me into that, wanting me to participate in that future event as a co-creator of that future event. I'm telling you more and more and more about the dream work right now. I just keep telling you more and more and more. And you know what? If I kept talking here till next week, we'd never run out of things to say about it.
I always say I don't believe in atheists.
What?
I always say I don't believe in atheists.
They believe in something.
I guess so.
I like atheists. You know, they're the easiest to convert.
Are they?
Yeah. Well,
God likes them too, because they're always thinking about God. God doesn't exist.
My brother, he calls himself the Antichrist, and he constantly goes on about that.
I'm sorry that my hearing is so bad today, you guys. But anyway, have we done enough?
Yeah.
Have we done enough
now
to set the energy, to set the stage for what we're doing? We're doing something that is very profound. Phil, when he was here the last time, wanted to know why we don't do interpretation. And I said, well, this work that I do here is not about interpretation. It's about something completely different. And interpretation is where you take a thought and you use another thought on that same level, not an intuition, but you use another thought on that same level that it exists on to say, well, this means that, or, and it means that, and it means that, and it means that. And so pretty soon you develop a whole system of reality out of a thought. And then you can go and you can use these things to prove it. But you need an intuition to prove whether this is true or not. And of course, people go and they believe their thoughts. And when they believe their thought, they're limiting themselves to the... I'm telling you something else about the dream work right now. When you believe a thought, in that circumstance, you're limited to the amount of power that's in that thought already.
It's like casting a spell, right?
And in order to... And in order to interpret that, you bring in another thought, and pretty soon you've got a whole system of thought, and you're limited as far as power goes to the power that's already in that thought and that system of thoughts. And you cannot increase the power of of a system of thoughts by adding other thoughts to it. Because the new thought that comes in requires power to it, be able to adhere to it. The only way to get more power in your system is to juxtapose that system with an intuition. And the intuition doesn't bring the new power into it. There goes a hawk.
Eyeing up the chickens.
Cool. Somebody's chasing it.
Yeah. What are they?
One's a
hawks.
They are hawks.
Yeah, the smaller one is a sharp shinned hawk.
That's
okay, right, but they come and distract me right while I'm talking about this.
Yeah.
Okay, the new power comes. How does the new power come? Into the thought. You bring it in to the thought. You bring new power into thought. Well, where do you get it? You get it in the space between the thoughts. When you let go of attachment to a thought, you experience an upsurge. Ujjamo.
Ujjamo.
That's what the Ujjamo Bhairava. Upsurge is Bhairava. You experience God. You experience an upsurge of energy, and you can feel it in your body. When I talk you into abandoning attachment to a concept, you feel the energy. You say, "Okay, I did it." You feel it moving in your body.
Openness.
Pardon me?
You feel openness.
Yeah. You open it, and it opens channels. It opens locks, and so on and so forth. So, in order to get new power into a thought, you have to experience intuition in such a way that you abandon it. Well, when you come back to the thought, you change it. It isn't going to be the same anymore. Okay. So now we'll stop there and we'll go on to Aaron's dream.
What's the date today?
July
26.
July 26, 2010.
Okay, now I hope that you get plenty of energy so you can speak. And I don't know what I'm going to do about my hearing because I can feel it slowly going.
Urine in your ear?
Huh?
Urine? Clear it out all the time.
Is that urine in my ear?
No, that cleans out the wax and the all that craziness in there. Even low-grade infection will clear it up.
It might be just that. I don't think it's an infection. But
what about mullein and garlic?
Urine's the best.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, well, I never heard of urine.
It could be that it's just wax in there. Yeah, there's a little bit of wax.
Dissolve.
Okay, so here we go, my dear Aaron.
All right, well, I had a couple dreams. This one's very weird. It's the most recent one. Should I use this one?
Yeah.
All right. The other one was funny. It was about a guy who had a penis transplant. I thought that.
The other one, I'm trying to see John.
You can't hear me.
Speak a little.
Partly it's I don't have teeth, and all right.
I don't either.
Okay. You know.
Right.
All right. We had a house in Italy, and in the yard there was a huge, huge, monstrous tree. It was. And it was a black maple tree. I know there's no such thing as I don't think there is a black maple tree, a black walnut tree, but this one was a black maple tree. And the tree, it didn't have bark like a regular tree. It was it was like finished. It looked like, you know, maple cabinets would look like. And it was massive. It was at least like 20 feet in diameter, and a huge thing with a very involved limbs, and it spread over the whole house, which was quite large. It was a big house. It was this huge tree that came up over the whole, you know, yard, the whole property, you know. And the town was trying to take the tree away from us.
Who?
The town.
The town?
Yeah.
Oh.
But, you know, we won, but afterwards, there was like a legal challenge, and this guy said to me, you know, we really had to challenge you about that tree. You know, like, this, we had no choice to challenge you, you know, to take your tree. And he said, that tree is worth about $1.2 billion in wood, you know, in lumber, right? And we wanted to keep our tree, right? So anyway, so they lost. We kept the tree. And then in another part of the dream, and I thought this was interesting because I haven't had a dream in a long time where there's been like a scorpionic woman. You guys are always asking me, do you have a friend who's like a Scorpio, you know, my opposite, right?
Yeah.
And it was in this, I think. So in this other part of the dream, I was in a store, still in Italy, and it was run by a woman I thought was my friend. And she spoke to another customer there that I knew, and I guess they didn't think I understood Italian. And I didn't really understand Italian, but somehow I knew that they were talking about me in not a nice way. Like, she said something to the other woman. And
they said what?
She said something derogatory to another Italian woman about me. And she said it in Italian. And I said to her, you know, if you're going to speak about me derogatorily, you should do it in a language I don't understand. You know, and... anyway, I just thought it was odd because I thought they were my friends.
Mm-hmm.
So I told her, I told the shop owner, I tried to talk to her, and I told her, I'm going to be your, I'm going to be a walking bad advertisement for your shop. Like, I was going to get her back, right? Okay, and then in another part of the dream, getting back to the tree. There were honeybees that were living in the tree.
Honeybees?
Honeybees. And they were cool. But then there were also these killer bees. Now, they weren't necessarily living in the tree. They were flying around. And they looked like birds. They were big. And they had, like, these harpoon beaks. And they would stab people.
The
birds. The bees. The killer bees. They looked like birds. And they had these long, pointy, spear-like beaks, and they would stab people. They'd poke holes in people, and they bleed, you know?
Yeah.
So,
that's good.
I got stung a few times by these killer bees, and I was bleeding, and so I wrapped myself in this sheet to kind of keep them away, you know? And that's basically the dream.
Is that it? Okay, there's not much going on there, is there?
Well, that's why I said this one was really weird. My dreams are...
Well, maybe we'll be able to find something to do in there.
I was wondering which part you...
Okay, first of all, Aaron was born in June?
Yeah.
June of what?
20th.
June of 20th? Okay, so that means that the sun is in...
Gemini.
Yeah. What year?
60.
1960? Mm-hmm. Okay, so June the 20th in 1960... The moon was in Taurus.
Taurus, yeah.
And what time of the day were you born?
8:27 a.m.
At 8:27 a.m., the rising sign was in Leo. And the midheaven at 8:27
Aries. Aries.
Was in Aries. Okay. So there's a whole bunch of stuff going on in the mind of this woman. There's Gemini sun, Taurus moon, Leo rising, and Aries midheaven. Okay? Now, Gemini is bidirectional sensation. Taurus is bidirectional will. Leo is bidirectional association. And Aries is outward-directed association. So here, Aaron is dealing with these three different ways of processing information: sensation, will, and association. Okay, now this dream is full of all of that. You know, who has ever heard of a maple tree that looked like
somebody sanded it?
Yeah, and finished. That looked like
a piece
of Ben Lackard. Yeah.
First of all, who ever heard of a maple tree that was black? Who ever heard of a maple tree?
Well, it wasn't black. It was just called a black maple, but it looked like, you know, like that.
I thought you said it was black.
No, it was called a black maple tree, like a black walnut tree, but like a black walnut tree, not black either, but it looked like.
So what color was it?
It was kind of like that, maybe a little darker.
Okay, so
like mahogany.
Who's ever heard of a black maple tree that was finished wood already? Here it is, the tree is 20 feet in diameter, it's already a piece of finished furniture, right? But it's got leaves and everything on it.
Yeah, but it.
Okay. Yeah. Now, what's a tree? What part of the mind is tree? You have to understand that the mind is four phase spaces. Waking state, dreaming state, causal state, and supercausal state. All of these things are present in the dream. To complicate things a little bit. The waking state is the masculine, the dreaming state is the feminine, the causal state is the intellectual, and the supercausal state is the spiritual. So, what is a tree? What part of the mind does a tree come in?
Emotional.
The supercausal. It's a part of nature. Okay? But what is a piece of furniture? What is a piece of furniture?
Same.
Causal. It's a man-made object. You take a tree and you make a table out of it. You make a finished piece of wood out of it. You take a supercausal phenomenon and you made a causal phenomenon out of it. Okay, so this table here isn't a supercausal. It's a causal phenomenon. Okay, so now you got a tree in the yard that is still alive, but it looks like it's a piece of finished wood.
It still had its shape, but it was all finished.
Sorry?
It still had the shape of a trunk. It hadn't been cut into one. It just didn't have bark. And
but it was all finished on the
beautiful.
Outside. Yeah,
it was
like
a
finished piece of wood.
Beautiful tree.
Okay, so now, what does that tell you about the relationship between Leo and Aries? Because the tree represents the Aries way of thinking. But the finished nature of the tree represents the Leo way of thinking. So it shows you that Leo has influence over making Aries behave the way it wants to think. And also, the Leo, in relationship to the emotional mind, has the ability to make the emotional mind think in the way that it wants to think. So that when Aaron, who identifies with Taurus, experiences phenomena that represent the causal body, like teachers, parents, police, doctors, authority figures of other kinds, and so on, she feels like they have more ability to change her into what they want her to be, then she has ability to make them do for her what she needs to have done for herself emotionally.
Is that unconscious?
Pardon me?
Is that an unconscious? Because...
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it happens.
Yeah.
No, it happens whether you're aware of it or not.
Okay.
It happens whether you're aware of it or not. You know, and I'll tell people that when I do dream workshops, I'll put the sun, the moon, the rising, the midheaven up on a board, and I'll tell a life history of this person. And then the person will say, no, that doesn't have anything to do with me. I never experienced that. And then they tell me the dream, and the dream is revealing everything that I just got through saying.
So underneath, like for me, I deal with authority figures all the time.
For me, I deal with authority figures?
I do all the time, and I'm very comfortable doing that. I'm
good
at it. I'm not necessarily comfortable. I'm good at it.
You're good at dealing with...
Yeah. Well, like advocating for Emma. I'm really good at it.
Right. But you're always having to advocate for
Yeah, and it's very
because
important.
they're always threatening to take
Yeah, they're doing
They're always threatening to do something that is emotionally unacceptable
to you.
Right. And so it's a job.
Yeah.
It's work.
It's a lot of work.
And the reason that is that way is because you are a Taurus in the moon and a Leo in the rising sign.
So they're going to...
That's the reason that stuff is happening. Oh. And you can say, well, that's just so much poppycock as far as I'm concerned.
No, I'm...
But I'll tell you what, we can prove it.
No.
And we'll see it in the dream.
Okay,
so now here comes the town. The town in this Italian town. And they want that tree. And they want to take the tree away from her. Okay?
they say, this tree is worth $1.2 billion. And we need the money. And so now she's got a contest. Because she sees it as her tree. The town sees it as their tree. The town represents the causal body. She represents the emotional body. So now here's exactly what I'm talking about. A contest is going on between the emotional body and the intellectual body, the causal body. Who's going to win?
Causal.
Who's going to win? The causal body is going to win this fight. Yeah.
Who's the causal?
You won the cheat.
But I won. But I got to keep it.
Wait
the
a second.
Oh.
It ain't over yet. It ain't over yet. If you want to win it, you got to win it in a different way than you're trying to win it in the dream. If you want to win it, there's a way to go about winning it. And I'll tell you what, it isn't linear. It's a very non-linear.
Good.
It's a very non-linear method to win. Because in the whole process of fighting for that tree in the dream, where you're winning, you're also losing.
Because I have to work so hard.
Because it's running you down in energy. It's depleting your supply. Because you're rummaging in thoughts. You're thinking the thoughts of the Taurus, and that thing is thinking the thoughts of the Leo, and the other thing is thinking the thoughts of the Aries, and then there's a Gemini in there, and I don't know how that comes into it. But it's all running. Interaction of thoughts, and it's running down the energy of the system.
Wow.
Well, with Emma, that's totally. It's like my quandary in life is, how do I live in peace with this? You know.
I can show you.
Good.
Hey.
All ears.
I can show you here right now how to do that. Okay. So the way that you do this is you look at yourself. Look at this fight that you're in with the town. Okay? They're telling you they want that tree. Aaron?
Yeah?
What do they really want?
They want to dominate me.
Oh.
They're into domination.
Why do they want to dominate you?
Because they're evil and mean.
They want to dominate you. You're identified with the emotional body. The source of power in your life is the emotional body. The causal body is running out of gas. It needs to get new power from the emotional body. If it's ever going to get any more power, it's going to get it from you. Where are you going to get it? Give it the tree. Give the town the tree, right?
Ooh.
No, then you just run, you just keep running down. See why I do the dream work this way, Phil? And why I'm not interested in interpreting the dream? Because there's this whole level of reality that's going on in here that nobody has ever addressed before. And when you get done with doing this, then we'll interpret it. But I want to do this first, and then what we're going to find out is, after this is all done, we're not interested in any interpretation. Because the dream itself doesn't have any significance anymore once we get this taken care of. Because what's going on here? What's going on in this dream? This person is running down in energy and needs to be revitalized. And the way they're going to be revitalized is to have new self-confidence built in by direct contact with their source, by the generative power of their existence. They need to have direct contact with that. And is Aaron going to get it in this tug of war with the town over this tree? Is she going to get it in this tug of war with this other woman who wants to talk disparagingly about her? And why does she want to talk disparagingly about her? And so on. Why is all this stuff going on? This stuff is all going on in order to get creative power into the body of the individual. Now, if there's another reason why it's going on, I want to find that out too. But first of all, I want to get to the bottom of this one. Because, Sir Isaac Newton, it was he who said, the universe is like a clock that was wound up and it's running down. That's entropy. And the whole universe is winding down towards the Big Bang again. And then there will be another Big Bang, maybe, I don't know. But is that true? Well, we do experience the fact that we're run out of gas.
We.
Huh? We do experience the fact that we run out of gas.
No.
Right. So where do we tank up? Where are we going to get our new gas?
BP.
BP.
BP. They got gas.
BP. Okay. So to come down to the reality here, what we're trying to do is to find out whether we're entropic or whether we're anti-entropic. Are we winding down? Are we all headed towards death? Yeah, sure we are. But is it an entropic system? Is the whole system winding down? No, the biosphere weighs more now than it did 400 years ago. Intellectual cognitive knowledge is greater now than it was 400 years ago. Everything seems to be expanding. So even though we're individually running down, everything seems to be expanding. But in the meantime, we have to expand also. So let's do it, okay? Do you want to do it around the tree?
Yeah.
Or do you want it in the relationship that you have with the tree and the town? Or do you want to do it in the relationship that you have with the woman?
I like the tree.
In the store, you know, the woman.
I wondered about the bees, those killer.
Huh?
I wondered about those killer bees. That
what?
I wondered about the killer bees in the.
Well, we could do it around the killer bees too.
That's the same thing, isn't it? They're poking holes.
Yeah, everything. It's all the same. Okay. Yeah, the woman attacking you, speaking disparagingly about you is the same thing.
Okay,
it's the same theme as the killer bees trying to come and get you. It's the same thing as the town trying to come and take your tree away from you.
All right,
you're under attack, honey.
All right, let's use the tree. The tree is sort of an indirect attack. How about that?
Okay, now, knowledge and action are inextricably intertwined, right? So, the dream happens this way. The problem in the dream is I'm under attack.
Well, I just have one question.
The problem in the dream, the problem that comes before the turning point, is I am under attack. Somebody is trying to take something away from me. Somebody is trying to do something bad to me. Somebody's trying to hurt me. All of those kind of things, okay?
But the thing about, just let me ask you, because I don't understand this. I didn't really experience the fight about the tree. I just knew that it happened. And then the guy, it was over. And the guy said, well, you know, we had to challenge you about that. He said we had to challenge you about that, but it was already over. The other things were still going on, the woman thing and the bees. But it's still, we could still use that, right? But I don't understand why it was resolved in the dream. Like it was, but you think it would just continue to try to take the tree again.
The tree, the fight between you and the town over the tree is a theme of the dream. And the theme repeats itself in every sequence all night long.
I get it, okay.
If the problem were resolved in the sequence, there wouldn't be any more dream.
Killer bees.
And it wouldn't evolve into a more intense fight.
Okay, I get it. It just changed the form. It didn't change the theme. I get it.
Right, okay, good for you. Give me five. That's good, though. That's a good insight you just got, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. The same, there's only one theme in the night, and you'll see in all sequences throughout the night. Sometimes you'll see the same sequence even for a week. Okay. Because this problem that I am being attacked, that somebody wants something that I've got, that belongs to me and I don't want to give it to them. Where does that come from? It comes from the experience of a Leo and a Taurus fighting over dominion. Who's going to run the show? Mm-hmm. It's in there.
Mm.
It manifests then out there too, because we project it. Okay. Is this a worthwhile...
Yes, definitely.
Is this a worthwhile endeavor to do dream work like this?
God. I can't wait.
Yeah, okay. So now what I would do is look at the town. Look at the town's people. And because you're Taurus, you're thinking about what you need. And you're trying to impose your will on them to get them to do for you what you want them to do for you.
Leave my damn tree.
And the paradox to that is for you to focus on them to the full exclusion of everything else. And let the town be the brightest, most attention-getting light for you. And say to yourself, what does the town need from me? And what can I do for the town to satisfy their need in such a way that it will be a great sacrifice on my part? And am I willing to love this town so much that I'm willing to give them the most important thing that they need from me? Mm. Now, you see why that's a paradox to the way she's thinking? She's thinking, the town is trying to take something away from me that I want, and I'm trying to protect myself. The paradox of that is, the town needs something, and I'm the only one who can supply that for them.
So the town is represented by Scorpio, then?
I'm asking her to think the Scorpio way.
Right.
And to focus on the town as if she were Scorpio.
Right, as if
she were a Scorpio. The town is a Leo. I don't care about the fact that the town is a Leo. And I don't care about the fact that the town has been overpowering her all of her life. Because the town, the Leo governor, needs to get power and energy from her anyway. Because she's the source of power. Because the identity is located in the emotional mind.
It's okay. True. This happens.
And I don't think that Jung ever said this in his analysis of dreams. But I don't know because I haven't ever studied Jungian analysis. Okay. So now, what's the town?
What is the town?
What is the town?
What do you mean?
Well, I don't mean anything, except that when you say the town wants a tree, I don't know who that is.
It was, in the dream, it was this one man who
represents the town.
Well, he was actually a citizen in the town, but, and he got help from authorities in the town, or he tried to. He tried to get the town to take the tree away from you, but they didn't do it.
Okay,
but
I
it was
understand.
More the town.
No, that's
the
not what I want to know. I don't want to know about all that. I'm just trying to ask you one little question. Who's the town? What's the town? See, this guy's coming
it's
in.
It's a community.
Huh?
It's a community, but it was just in my dream.
Okay,
it was one
so,
person that.
So the town is a community, and when you try to conceptualize what that community is. What is that? What is? How do you see it?
Family, maybe.
Family.
Yeah.
Oh, the town is a family.
Well, I mean, you asked me
it's
to
like
give you
mafia
an idea.
Family.
Well,
like
maybe.
Italian family.
I don't know. I'm not sure how to answer the question. You said, "What is
yeah,
what I
see,
conceptualize?" It's a group.
Okay. Why do I ask the question? Because you told me the town wants the tree. So the town is some amorphous, unknown thing to me. I don't know what the town means. When you tell me the town wants the tree, I don't know what that is.
It was members of the community, not like the government, but members of the community wanted the tree. Because they felt it would bring money, to their
okay, did they want the tree for themselves or did they want the tree for somebody else?
Well, they wanted the money they could get from the tree. So they wanted to sell the tree.
But who's supposed to get the benefit?
People in the town. People in the town. It wasn't really
the town
clear.
Or people in the town. People, I'm confused.
People in the town. It wasn't really the government of the town. But just like the economy would get better if we had more jobs or whatever, it was kind of like, well, if we could take your tree down and we could sell it, we could, you know, we could all make more money. We could.
The whole town was supposed to get the benefit out of it.
Yeah, or at least many people. Yeah, the whole town would benefit. That was the sense I got from this guy, that he felt that it was a resource the town needed.
Yeah. Okay. So see, what's behind this is that Leo. This is a contest between Taurus and Leo. And it's also a contest between the emotional mind and the causal body. What does the causal body do?
Long-term planning.
Governs things.
What?
It makes for survival.
Right. Alvaro called it the governor. And it controls all the automatic, repetitive, compulsive behavior patterns of the body. So the body's ability to do things automatically and repetitively and unconsciously and so on becomes disempowered if it can't get power from the emotional body. Okay, but the Taurus's experience of the Leo is that it's always trying to take from me anyway, and I'm not interested in giving it anything. All it ever wants is everything I've got.
It makes me feel threatened.
Makes me feel threatened.
And also paranoid. I mean, I'm just looking at my life. No, really. Well, because...
No, it's fine that you say this. Well, I'm laughing because it's funny, not because...
Well, I'm sure you probably understand, like, bureaucracies and things like that. I'm paranoid about them because I see what they can do to people. And so when I'm dealing with... You know what I mean? But this... Totally
now, hold on a second. Just a second. You say bureaucracies.
What they can do. Institutions, systems of people.
What they can do to people.
Yeah.
What can they do?
Well, systems maintain themselves, and if you challenge a system, then you're going to be in some deep shit. That's what I mean. Like.
But aren't you quite comfortable in doing
bureaucracies? Well, no, I'm not comfortable. I'm good at it. I'm very good.
Oh, you're
at it.
Good
I
at
like it.
It.
I don't necessarily enjoy it. I become masterful at it.
But you're good at it, but it makes you feel paranoid.
This combination of Taurus and Leo has made me very good at, you know, dealing with these things.
I'm very good at it.
But I don't like that I have to do it all the time. I don't like...
Okay, but now you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah, I do.
I'm repeating what
yeah,
you're saying.
I'm just confirming the dream thing is totally right.
Right. But it's also very important for everybody to understand when they hear you say, I'm paranoid about these things.
Well, not paranoid about everything, but just...
Well, why did you say paranoid
right,
if you're not paranoid?
Paranoid, trust. I don't trust. Like okay, the people that are dealing with Emma, like administrators... They do terrible things.
They what?
They do terrible things. They to cover their ass. You know, to cover up abuse. They do all kinds of things because they're maintaining their institution and they don't want bad press or they don't want whatever.
Okay.
So I don't trust them. So trust, not trusting is probably better. You
know, okay, but what do they do that harms you?
Plenty.
What?
A lot of things. I mean, they...
Okay. So they do a lot of things that harm you also.
Well, I don't know it actually harms.
But you see how this goes? You see how, you see, and this is the case with everybody, right?
Yes.
It's good, oh no, it's not good, it's bad. Well, it's not really bad, it's good too.
Well,
it works out so that sometimes it's good and in some ways it's good and some ways it's bad. Sometimes I'm paranoid and sometimes I'm not.
Not paranoid.
Sometimes I'm not paranoid and sometimes I'm comfortable.
When I say paranoid, I mean I can't trust them.
Yeah, I can't trust them because they're doing things to cover their ass.
But they've proven that they're not trustworthy.
They're not trustworthy.
They've proven that they're not trustworthy.
But you have to lay this out. You have to get it out here where I can see it clearly.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly what's going on between you and these bureaucracies.
Okay. Let's see. You need an example.
Did it wear you down?
I want you to come to a clear concept of these bureaucracies where your identity type is telling me exactly what your identity type, just let me say this, where your identity type is telling me what your identity type's attitude is about these bureaucracies, without bringing in your intuition's concept of these things, okay? Because I need to know what your identity type believes about these institutions. The town that wants the tree.
They're entirely self-serving.
They're entirely self-serving.
Yes.
Okay. You need to write that down.
They will maintain themselves at any cost.
Okay. Tell me what cost you see yourself having to pay.
All right,
in order
for example, there was a meeting, all right? I tape recorded the meeting. And it was a meeting where their QA department, quality assurance, explained away all kinds of evidence of abuse that happened to my daughter. Just explained absurd explanations for injuries and things like that. And after the meeting, they did something without my permission, and I confronted them about it, and they said, the head of medical services wrote an email and claimed that I had refused to talk about medical issues in the meeting and they had no other choice. It was a lie, and I had it on tape. We talked about medical issues the first thing. I said, okay, what do you have to say? What do you want to talk about? So then they lied about me, you know.
And what does that mean to you?
Well,
how does that influence you?
Okay, for me, it's like that defames me. Or they attempted to. It was absurd. There were three witnesses there with me. They wrote emails. They responded. It was, she got fired.
Okay.
It's like, if you're going to lie, don't let anyone find out.
Okay. But now, what kind of a position does it put you in terms of being able to do what you need to do, and in terms of being able to have what you need to have?
Okay, it puts me in a position of always having to be on guard. I always have to be defending, advocating, you know, constantly watching Emma's back and my back and, you know.
And what does it do to your ability to get what you want?
Well, it, in terms of my own satisfaction in life, it wrecks, it havoc with my ability to be in peace. I mean, I meditate a lot and I do things like that, so I'm probably more peaceful than some people would be in the situation. But I don't like the constant, you know.
Okay. Are we getting a more clear picture of what's going on between the Taurus and the Leo?
I mean, you could go back to my family. I'm like, I'm the, you know, black sheep in my
parents,
family.
Parents, father, mother, school teachers, doctors, lawyers, policemen, stop signs, rules, regulations, morals, ethics, all these things are encased in the Leo governor.
And siblings, too.
Siblings are, if they're female, their intuition, and if they're male, their waking state, Gemini.
Can I say something?
Sure.
So her Taurus, being expressive, knows what it wants, and in seeing these bureaucracies, then is forcing or trying to force what it wants. And then there's a battle going on there.
The battle that's going on between the Leo governor and the Taurus moon is a very intense battle, because the Leo governor, Leo is stronger than Taurus anyway. Although the Taurus is accustomed to fighting and has learned a lot of the methods of the Leo governor, so that she can see it coming very often. Nevertheless, it's also a much older part of the brain, and it is non-emotional. It's purely intellectual, and it's willing to kill in order to get what it wants. An alligator does not care whether you're a woman and so on, and whether you have other values. It sees you as an object of its perception, and it's willing to do whatever it needs to do in order to have what it wants.
So you're talking Taurus or Leo? I'm
talking about the Leo governor.
Right, Leo.
Yeah, the Leo governor. So first of all, the reptilian brain is intellectual and is non-emotional. So if Erin, in her struggle with bureaucracy, expects them to have any respect for emotional values, she needs to think again, because they don't.
I don't think that at all.
No, they don't. And so the thing is, however, is she has an obligation to teach them how to appreciate emotional value. Now, because otherwise that part of her mind will never learn emotional values. And it's very important for that part of your mind to respect emotional values and to know that there are limits to what it can do to you, because it depends on you as its source for life. Okay, so now the town is looking at her as a source of money, and it wants that tree to get it. That's the linear explanation of what's going on in the dream. The town wants something from her. Is the tree going to satisfy the town? No. No, the tree's going to bring money. The town's going to lose the tree.
Right now, the
town has the tree. The tree, it has emotional value for Erin, and it has intellectual value for the town. But to take that tree out of the town and to disperse it throughout the countryside and turn it into money will give the town some kind of a short-term benefit, but will take away a long-term thing. So it isn't about giving the tree to the town. It's about looking at the town in this moment and asking myself, I'm taking your role here. They're coming to me and saying they want the tree. Okay? They're letting me know that they need something from me. I'm going to accept their demand for the tree as a front. There's something behind this front. It's deeper than that. What do they really want?
They want love and security.
Huh?
They want security. They want love and they want security.
Okay. Now look. I don't know whether this is true or not, what Erin just now said, but I'm going to go with that. I'm going to act like I believe it. I'm going to say, okay, the town wants love and security. Okay, here comes the guy from the town. And you're looking at him and you're thinking, the town wants love and security. Can you see an ability in yourself to give the town love and security in such a way that it's a sacrifice to you?
Yeah, I guess so.
Okay, and when you do it, do you feel a knot in your stomach of resistance?
I feel a blankness.
I'm sorry, Erin.
Blankness, like a block, yeah. Because they think they want money. And I'm thinking, well, why would they accept my love? And I don't know.
Okay. Now, see, what I'm doing is I'm trying to talk Erin into becoming aware of a paradox that's going on inside of her. And what I'm trying to do is to make her aware of the fact that here's something that's outside of her that wants something from her. But in order for her to keep the tree, she doesn't fight the town over the tree in court or with guns or whatever to try to see who's going to win, the way that it happens mostly in life. What I want her to do is to go to the intuitive side of her consciousness and ask herself, what do they really need from me? And do I have the ability inside of myself to make a sacrifice of myself in that way to give them what they really need. And that will stop them from trying to take my tree. See? That's what you call nonlinear. Nonlinear process. Make sense?
Got it? Your identity type is expressive and knows what it needs and doesn't know the needs of others. But the Scorpio, you have to make a sacrifice, which your identity type does not know how to do.
So in the intuitive side of your mind, which is oriented towards spirit and not oriented towards the physical reality, it is trying to lead you into the future. It's trying to tell you, look, the reptilian part of your brain that runs your body needs some energy, needs some power from you. And it can't get it anywhere because it can't go to the gas station. You know, it's dependent upon getting it from you. And the way that it has to get it from you is you have to give it voluntarily. Now, it's coming and saying, I want this tree, and that's not... It's saying that because it's crazy. It doesn't know how to say it. It doesn't know how to approach you to get what it wants, to get what it needs. It doesn't know how to approach you. So it approaches you in this irrational way. This is another insight into dream. Okay? This is not what's really going on. The town wanting the tree is not what's really going on. The town needing something. That part of the mind needing something from you is what's really going on. For your body and for your life and living in this world right now in this situation this way. Okay, can you see where... You know exactly where I'm going, right? You got the clear picture? Okay. Now we have to go about it in this nonlinear way. Because you don't know inside of the part of your mind that you identify with how to do that. You have to ask... You have to be willing to ask yourself, what does this guy from the town, what does he need from me?
Acceptance.
Okay.
Understanding.
Acceptance and understanding. Okay, now that's a pretty big thing. For you to give the town acceptance and understanding, for you to give what do you call them?
Killer bees.
These institutional
organs.
Yeah.
These offices where Emma is being taken care of. For you to give, what did you say?
Acceptance and understanding.
For you to give acceptance and understanding to them. Woo! That's a big thing.
Well, it's dangerous, but. I constantly...
That's a real big thing. Why? Because it's dangerous. That's a threat to my existence. Okay? Now let me ask you something.
The guy in a dream I could give it to, but then when I think of, like, in life, like, these people that are doing...
No, we're only going to do it here in this dream. Yeah. We're only going to do it here in this dream. And that's the nice thing about a dream. It's a real safe situation. It isn't real. Aaron, it's only a dream, right? Okay. So now, Jonathan is kind of smiling. Because I say that it's not real, but you know that it is real. Not Israel, it is real.
Got it.
Okay. So now, here comes the town, all right? And this here comes the woman in the dream. She wants something from you too. And, there's the girlfriend that you went to high school with that we've used before.
Natalie. Yeah.
What's her name?
Natalie.
Okay. Yeah. So let's bring Natalie into this situation in the dream. Natalie is listening to the guy out in the front yard saying, the town needs this tree.
Oh, but she's... Worse than me.
I can't hear you.
Okay, so the town wants a tree. She'd be like, fuck off.
Okay. Now, what would Natalie tell you about what the town really wants. Say Natalie is, you and Natalie are out in the front yard and you're talking to this guy and he say, we want this tree. And you say, Natalie, come on, let's go to the other side of the house. Excuse me, I want to go talk to her. And you go talk to her and you say, what do they really want?
See, I don't know if she's a scorpionic.
I can't hear you.
I don't know if she's a real scorpionic.
No.
She would say they're trying
to... She doesn't have to be scorpionic.
Okay, well, I think she would say they're trying to take advantage.
They're what?
Trying to take advantage that I don't have to give them the tree.
No, what do they really want?
What do they really want?
Ask her what the... Ask this picture of your... That
control.
You have
a,
huh?
She would say they want control.
They want control.
Yeah.
What else do they want?
Respect.
What?
Respect.
What do they need? They're here because they want something. They're here because they need something. What is it that they
need? Security. I keep coming back to that. Security.
Okay. What are they? What is that made out of? What's security made out of? Why do they need security?
Everybody needs it.
What's the nature of the kind of security that they need? Why do they want security? Why are they insecure?
They want to feel comfortable. They want to be safe. They want
to
know.
Okay, look, it comes back to what I'm talking about. It comes back to power and energy. The reptilian brain, which controls the automatic, repetitive, compulsive stuff in the whole body. It makes a heartbeat, it makes you breathe, it makes thought happen, it makes digestion happen. All that stuff, it needs power in order to operate. Okay. It's going to get it from the emotional mind in a woman. It's going to get it from the waking state in a man. If the emotional mind says, no, I'm not giving it. You know, you threaten me too much. I'm not giving you anything. Does it feel insecure? Does it feel threatened? Does it feel the threat of disintegration? Mm-hmm. Okay. Is this a source of illness? The lack of ability of energy to flow in the body and so on and so forth. So that's what's going on here. I mean, it really boils down to that. So these people are insecure.
Yeah.
They need security. Okay, are you willing to give them security? Are you willing to give them, what did you say, understanding and acceptance?
Yeah.
Respect.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so now what is going on here, Aaron, is... the institution that is responsible, charged with caring for Emma, needs your acceptance and it needs your understanding and it needs security from you. Now, do you think that if you were able to give that to them in a self-sacrificial way, that they would treat you differently?
I was giving that to them.
I'm asking you a question.
I fear they'd take advantage.
Okay. You don't want to answer my question?
Yeah, maybe they would treat me differently. I don't know.
This is going on right now. This dream is right now.
Yeah, it is.
This dream is right now, and this is a fresh situation.
Yeah.
This is a situation that needs to be dealt with, okay? It isn't going to be resolved if you tell me, well, I have always done this in the past.
No, I didn't say I've always done it.
Or I have done it. I'm not going to do it.
I don't know the answer to that question.
I hear you saying I'm not going
to... I don't know.
You say I'm not going to do it now because I've done it before and it didn't work.
Well, I could do it. I don't know the answer to how they would behave. I don't know.
Okay. What do you think, Phil? Do you know? Do you understand that answer? Do you understand my question?
Yes, I think so. But I think, do we need to just do it and then see
what
happens? I feel like we just need to do it and then see what happens, right?
Okay, I'm trying to give Aaron motivation for wanting to do it.
Oh, okay.
I'm trying to give Aaron, because Aaron right now is identified with Taurus, and I'm asking her to let go of that. And she's feeling threatened if she lets go of that. And this is what everybody does. If we let go of our attachment to our identity, we feel like our life is being threatened.
We're going to die.
Yeah. Actually, what's happening is we're opening ourselves up to more power, to an upsurge of power and an upsurge of energy, which is going to resolve a whole bunch of things. We're trying to resolve the whole thing within the context of thinking and thoughts. It isn't going to be resolved on that level. It's going to be resolved on the level of eye consciousness, which is going to open the floodgates of energy and power to surge upwards in the body from our source of creation, which is making the whole universe expand. And this is what we're confronted with here right now. And we have access to that. And if I just ask her to do it, she isn't going to do it. I have to give her motivation for doing it.
So if the dream's coming in a crazy way, irrational, it's like, it doesn't make any sense, like, to our rational mind to be able to give it what it seems to want.
No, but it does make sense to ask her to do an irrational thing.
Right.
To take a chance.
Yeah.
Because on this stage...
Well,
this,
it's not working the way it is now, so...
No, it isn't working this way.
So just for that reason, you would want to do something different.
The way that I usually trick Ramdas into doing it, because it's hard for everybody to do it, is I usually ask him, well, are you willing to satisfy God instead of yourself? And that's usually my key for getting him to let go.
Well, the guys in the town have no problem doing it for.
You have no problem doing it for.
See, I have two processes going on here. I'm thinking about life, and I'm thinking about the dream. And the dream is fine. I can do it for those guys.
Yeah,
life,
okay.
That's another story, but
for you to tell me that you have no problem in doing it for the guy in the dream.
Not now, no.
That means that you've already done it then.
Yeah, I feel like I feel okay with that.
Okay, do you feel the upsurge of energy? When you look at the tree in the dream, what does it look like?
It's beautiful.
I can't hear you.
It's beautiful.
What does it look like? How is it different than it was in the dream?
It seems lighter, color, lighter. Like there's more light in the dream.
And what about the guy?
The guy seems...
From the town?
Yeah.
What does he look like?
He seems happy that the tree is there. They didn't cut the tree.
Okay. Now go to this other part of the dream where you were in this shop where this woman is speaking disparagingly about you.
In Italian.
And tell me what you see there now.
There doesn't seem to be any animosity.
Huh?
There doesn't seem to be any animosity.
Okay, so we have achieved something, do you see? Mm-hmm. We've achieved something. Have we achieved a full-blown transformation? No.
I'll tell you why, because I'm thinking so much about what I'm dealing with in my life, and I'm wondering how to translate this to that.
Because you want it to happen within the realm of thinking, and you want to be in control of the way that it all happens.
That won't work.
You're not willing to give yourself up to the process and let the Creator who created you transform the process for you. And for you to then go into the and experience how it's different. You want to be the one who changes it instead of accepting it being changed for you. And believe me, this isn't just you, Aaron. This is how we all do it.
I don't think I can change it myself.
You can't change it.
I know I can't. I mean, I struggle with it constantly. How should I respond here so that something different could happen? That's a constant question for me.
Okay.
Anyway, yeah. It's very helpful. This is huge.
We did a lot.
Yeah, it's a huge thing. I mean, I don't feel resolved, but I feel like this was a huge piece of knowledge for me.
Well, I went into I did a real lengthy, in-depth dream work session with you today.
Thank you.
Much more so than I normally do, for a reason.
The reason I did it is because a lot is at stake. What?
And if you can do it too, then it will affect the waking state. But it's just making the intention, not doing it. Make the intention.
I want you to call me on the telephone. And let's finish this on the telephone.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
It works really well to do it on the telephone, too. Because then you don't have to be scared of me, because I'm not there.
I'm not scared of you, silly. Huh?
You're getting it.
Okay, let's take a 10-minute break. I like working with you. Aaron, because you're a brave soul. I mean, I'm right in there. You have to understand, I'm right in there at the very deep roots of the ego. And we're all threatened in this life. We're all threatened with extinction. And this ego seems to be the one thing that is going to guarantee our future. And I'll tell you what, that's the thing that's going to kill us the fastest.
Yeah.
That's why we call him the jackhammer. He jackhammers you.
That doesn't feel bad to me. I just sometimes run into it.
Anyway, I got to get up and walk him.
Let me see your hand. Let me see the other one. Interesting. You have simian line on this hand. And then this one, they're broken, see? This is where you come from. This is where you're going. Simian lights are really rare. I have them. And I thought last time we were here, I meant to check. I thought you had it too. And you do. You have one, which is very interesting. Because you got one here that's starting to break. And over here, it's broken. It's the head and the heart lines woven together. Mine are woven together.
But mine are not.
They are. That one is.
Right here, they are.
Yeah.
But this is where
and
I'm going.
And on this
going.
Side. Well, it... the if I'm... Well, actually, I don't know if that's where we're going, but I've heard that sometimes one will be solid and one will be broken. It's not bad. Head and heart lines together, about 1% of the population have simian lines. And it has something to do with the unity of the mind.
Well, I'm certainly looking for realization by unlocking it through the thought process. But I'm trying to find the heart through the mind.
Well, see, that's perfect.
And I'm doing it.
You are. Masterfully.
I'm a lucky guy. I have to go to the toilet and I'll be right back.
Is this on?
Are you all right, Josh?
Yeah, I'm all right.
Should I stop it?
Stop.
You have head and heart lines there and there.
What's a simian line?
You're a Gemini, too? Oh, so you... relate to the Gemini stuff. No, it's okay. See, they go together there. See how they? Mine are sort of braided. What do you have, Jonathan? I can't remember if you have. And see, Jonathan's head and heart line separated. So do you. Most people do. And I noticed on Rand, he has simian lines too. Like they run together. See, I don't have head and heart lines.
Oh yeah.
Mine are together.
Oh, they start together.
Yeah. They're all together.
What is this one?
I don't know.
Lifeline.
I'm not a palm.
That's the lifeline.
Is it?
Yeah.
I'm not a palmist.
That's the lifeline. My lifeline kind of ends and it starts again somewhere else. I think that life's over and your life begins. I'll consider it dead.
So we got lots of Gemini energy here. You got Gemini in your type too,
Gemini
don't you?
Rising, yes. I'm trying to figure
Gemini,
out.
Gemini.
Yes, I'm trying to figure
it's
out.
It's like the air group.
Well, with the men, apparently. With the men, if your identity's in the waking state,
I have no earth on my chart.
Then you're most of us trying to get energy. What's your moon?
And you have no earth. I can see that in you.
Taurus moon. Yeah.
So your Taurus is trying to get.
Your
Taurus is generally more powerful than Gemini. Get the energy. But I got to talk to him.
You're, I'm betting all that is the types are so alive. You study the dream world theory that much. But from an astrological standpoint, being a Gemini with Libra rising is super polite. It's very compatible because you've got two air signs, so I'm guessing that from a dream work standpoint, you probably don't have the kind of thing going on that I have going on. I have fire, rising, earth, moon, Libra, and Leo. And it is really hell in Hollywood. It is. And, I mean, I'm sure it's going to get me realized. You know? But, I mean, it's good for sadhana. But yeah, but I'm betting for you that that probably going to create, you know, your cross to bear. Your rising. And your, what's your head at? What about your moon?
When is Cancer?
Now there you have it. Because moon is water. And your sun, your rising or air, which is incompatible element. Everybody has. Jonathan's Aries. I think he has a little Taurus in there.
I'm doing it for Aaron first.
And
but I know that it has value for all of us. Now, I know also that it's taking time.
He's kind of ribbing you there about the Jungian stuff, huh?
No, that's a thing. No, it's all learning.
Oh, no. He Rand loves to play.
Want a piece of cheese?
Wow.
You can mush it.
Yeah, maybe I will.
You want some peanut butter?
Down the most,
I'm thinking.
one more possibility. Yeah, Virginia, there's some sun down there. You want some?
You say peppers don't grow well.
Yeah, the women might grow you out of them. Too many peppers.
Literally experiencing the real world.
that's how we do the dream work. We always get completely free of the attachments and the thoughts before we try to implement the intuitive idea.
Well, we were thinking about transcribing some things to transcribe it. Bill's an expert transcriber.
Oh.
So he might be able to do a little bit. I'm trying to push him. Come on, Phil. Right there.
Do you have a transcribing machine?
Is your movie
He can type 90 words a minute, man. He can type faster than he can talk. Believe it or not.
I have a transcribing machine.
Oh, you do?
And tapes.
So, for the stuff Dominic's making, though? For Dominic's little...
His no. You can get it. You can just play it on the Windows media player.
So you can transfer it.
We've downloaded it into there.
Oh, so you can even email it. You've downloaded that to the computer and you can email it.
So, like, from being more passive,
that's the way to do it.
So why do you
that's
see
the pure technical stuff. So, we talked about that.
Because
it's valuable stuff.
So, the coffee is ready.
Oh, yeah.
The cups are over there.
Where?
I just shipped that.
These cups are used. These cups are used. So, in any case, another cup. Because you can add pots to the empty out in no time.
We'll put that in here, man.
What do you want in your cup?
Oh,
got a little bit of sugar.
Your sugar over there.
Okay, thanks.
The round out.
Round out or round out?
Oh, wow.
No, it's on.
Karen, do you need a drink of water?
Probably.
I got a bottle of water out here.
I'll just grab one. In Kingston, down near the water there. Yeah. He'd love
There's one right there on the floor by the door.
Woodstock.
Yum, yum, yum.
What's that? Song I can't cut?
Yeah.
Whatever he's doing, he can't
Sounds
cut.
Like a skill.
Someone who can't doesn't know how to use it.
It's dull.
Yeah, a blade that's been overused on your body.
You're you, not your body.
Someone who doesn't know how to cut. He's still trying.
Smoke on that.
Yeah.
He doesn't like
yeah, it. That's a dull blade.
Cut one piece of wood. That's funny. Trying to cut a piece of wood.
Sculpting.
Over there, the trees are blowing really hard, and over here, they're hardly moving at all.
I know, there's no wind over here. Yeah, no, but up more higher.
What are they building over there?
It sounds like they're destroying rather than building.
They're cutting with the building.
It doesn't sound like they're
building anything. Smoke comes out.
So you can't play in the city. They'd have to come visit you.
I'm not comfortable with stuff. Or wherever it is.
Yeah.
Oh, you can know. You can set up at any park right anywhere.
You should go
Jonathan,
because
you have a dream?
Park right near their house.
Yeah.
Ooh. Your mound cookies,
huh?
Do
a dream finally after coming through.
Hmm?
Yeah, I got a dream. It's got a grade number, so I'm going to have to skip that part.
It's
not X-rayed. It is. First part.
Oh, come on.
First part is
X-rayed. He might have watched two last night.
No,
that's why I'm not
That
saying.
Might be what a gap is, right? In the X-rated part.
Yeah, really. There's an X-rated, and then there's a, then it calms down a little bit. What should I do?
You got to get the poison out.
The whole X-rated part, or what? What do you say? I don't know. It's a little embarrassing. But all right, let's try it.
I'll go on. I just had a dream about a guy who got a penis transplant, so...
Okay. I didn't hear that. I didn't hear that one. I'm glad I wasn't here for...
No, it was very brief.
All right. Anyway, so this dear higher self, looking for guidance in terms of clarity and direction at this point in my life. What to do. So that was the posing of the question. Okay, so the first, the dream opens up. There are three parts. Should I do the three parts and we just hone in on that? There are three parts to the dream.
Well, let's start with the number one part.
In the mother's house, in bed with a small woman who adores me. I have no sense of like, oh, I can't make love with this woman or she doesn't want me. You know, we're just together. I usually have that, but this time it was just, there she is, there I am.
Okay, now start over again, John.
Yes.
Jonathan. And what you're doing is you're telling me the dream and you're telling me your life.
Okay.
So tell me the dream.
I'm in my mother's house. I'm in my childhood house. When I was a kid, and I'm in bed with a small woman who adores me, and I have no sense of self-consciousness. I'm reminded in the dream that I'm usually self-conscious, but I felt like she was just there with me. So I try to turn off the light, but I can't do it. And there are several switches on the wall, and I'm flicking this, trying to get the switch off, and I can't get the light off. Meanwhile, I hear my mother leaving the house. She's in the other room, but I hear that now she's leaving the house. Finally, I turn off the hall light. I realize that the light was coming into my room from the hall, I think, so I turn off the hall light, and that turned off the light. I'm in my childhood room from my growing up in New Jersey. So the woman is there, and my mouth is on her belly at this point.
And finally, I realize how to close the light. So I get up and I flick the light switch off. And when I return, I say something like, where do you want me to start? Like, do you want me to continue with what I'm doing? Basically asking her if it's okay to continue. And she gives me this funny look, indicating that it doesn't matter. So, I'm looking for some feedback from her. I'm looking for, like, is this okay? And she's like, you don't need to ask me that. And I'm kind of upset because she's not directing me. So anyway, I go back to my mouth and her stomach, and it's all good. And then the mouth goes to a lower portion of her body, but there's not enough moisture down there. So I'm like trying to get some moisture in my mouth. And I can't get moisture. And I wake up because I'm thirsty, so I'm pissed off. That night before I went to bed, I wanted to drink more water anyway, so I drink the water. I'm trying to get back into the scene, but I can't.
Frustration.
That was frustration. I felt like it was going to go to...
Okay.
That was the first part.
Yeah. Let's stop, and let's start. Let's start here. Can we? Because the rest of them happened the same night?
Yeah. Same night.
Okay, so the theme is going to be the same in the
right,
other ones.
That's what I figured.
Okay, so in the same way that we're going to treat the theme in the other dreams and resolve the paradoxes in those dreams, if we resolve the paradoxes in this dream.
Right.
Okay, so Jonathan was born in March?
April.
April?
2nd.
April 2nd, 1957. 57, when the sun was in Aries. The sun was in Aries. You were born in New Jersey?
Connecticut.
You were born in Connecticut on April 2nd, 1957? 1957. So, on that day, the moon was in Taurus.
Right.
I seem pretty smart, right? Because
yeah.
I can tell you.
Because you can remember.
I can tell you.
You can remember.
Oh, on that day the moon was in Taurus.
You sounds like that, but I know you know my chart.
Yeah.
You know how I know that, right? Because I know that the moon is in Taurus.
Yeah, no, you memorized. Okay. You memorized the ephemeris.
And what time of the day were you born?
8:04 a.m.
8:04 a.m. Oh, at that time of the day, the rising sign was in Gemini.
Yeah, but you can't tell that. You can't tell that. You can't tell from the sun sign and the rising sign. But okay.
And the midheaven was in Aquarius.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So Jonathan is dealing with an expressive waking state, an expressive dreaming state, Taurus. And his waking state is outward-directed association, which means that the waking state, which has the dreaming state behind it, is focused outward on the outside world and is trying to figure out what the outside world is by putting things in the outside world together in a function of association to see what he can make them into, or taking things apart to find out what they're made out of. And he discovers his own self-esteem and his own identity and his ability to do that successfully. Now, he isn't just a waking state man. He's also a man with a dreaming state. He's also a man with an emotional body. But there are no emotions in the waking state. So Jonathan doesn't generate emotions in the process of trying to do all of these things in the outside world. These emotions come to him because the woman inside of him is trying to teach emotional values to the waking state. In the same way that I'm telling you that you have to teach emotional values to these governor symbols. His emotional mind has to teach emotional values to him in the waking state so that he can have
a waking state sense of what emotions are, because he needs to know a little bit about what emotions are in order to do his waking state processes. He also has to know what Gemini governor processes are in order to do his waking state processes successfully. Well, as long as he's only thinking, he's not aware of his emotions. As long as he's only thinking, he's not aware of his governor, the causal body. As long as he's only thinking, he's not aware of the spiritual values. Except as he has trained himself already to think about those. So that in the sense that he has already put those values into some of his thoughts in his life, he'll be able to have it. But in order to have direct access to those things, he needs to go into the direct cause of his source of life. He has to go into the space between the thoughts. He has to go into the eye consciousness in order to have access to his emotions and in order to have access to his causal body and supercausal body in a way that's meaningful for him in the waking state. So his waking state question is, look, I need direction. I don't know exactly what to do right now in my life. How did you say it?
Looking for guidance in terms of clarity and direction in my life at this time.
Yeah.
What to do. Right.
Yeah. Okay. And so the waking state doesn't know that out of its own self. It just knows how to take things apart and put things together out there to find out what it can be made into. But who am I? Who's the one who's doing this? And what's the overall purpose? Do I have a mission? Do I have something that I'm trying to accomplish? Can you tell me what that is? Because I don't know it. Okay? That's what's going on in this identity type. So now, the dream is saying, look, if you want to know about what to do in your life, let's hook up with women. Let's get this guy hooked up with a woman. Okay? So the dream opens, and he's in.
I don't know. I don't need the dream. I come to that real thing.
So he wakes up. He wakes up, and he's in. He wakes for some reason. He's in bed with this little woman. Now, why do I say he wakes up? He wasn't awake. He was asleep. But I say he wakes up. He becomes aware of himself being in a dream with a woman, a little woman in bed with him, and the light is on, and he's in the house that he grew up in. How old are you?
Where?
In the dream.
Oh, I'm this age.
In the dream?
I'm my present age.
Okay. How old were you in the house that you grew up in?
8, 10, 12.
Okay, 8, 10. Let's just stop right there. Let's say 9. Okay, this is a favorite year of mine in relationship to you. I keep talking to you about when you were 9.
9? Why?
No, why? Because
eight.
That was the...
8.
Huh?
My brother was killed at 8 when I was 8.
Well, you were 8? I thought he was 7 and you were 9.
I was 8, he was 6.
He was 6 and you were 8, okay. Jonathan had a tragic thing
happen. Actually, I was right before my 9th birthday. But anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So this thing is happening at about that, in that house.
In the house, yeah. I'm in that house.
When you were about that age.
I'm most associated with the house.
So what is a little woman?
Well, she's thin. I don't say short, but you know.
She's about that big.
No. 5. Not large. I'd say 5'4". You know. I mean, not a large woman. Just a kind of a...
Just petite.
Petite. I'd say petite. Not small, petite.
Okay. This is all perspective, though, too, because we go through the dream, she'll change. She'll change. She might change into a man. Is that what you're thinking?
I hope she doesn't change too much. Hope she doesn't change.
I can show you some of those on my phone.
Oh, my God. Erin, I wasn't thinking that.
No, I
wasn't only
either.
Thinking that she would change into a...
I was thinking she would grow large.
You said.
To a different size woman.
No, she was a good size. I don't know.
Okay, now, Jonathan, how are you feeling when you're aware of yourself in bed with this woman?
I'm feeling good.
This woman, feeling good.
Not self-conscious, not, you know, just she wants to be there, I want to be there, we both have the intention to be there.
Okay, now look, I'm going to cut to the chase, okay? I say, how do you feel? And he say, I feel good, I'm not self-conscious. Why does it occur to you that you're not self-conscious?
Well, actually, that may have been come when I came back. I believe I put that on as a layer when I look back at the dream. I don't believe I was thinking that at the moment.
In the dream?
In the dream, I wasn't thinking that.
Okay. But you're putting that on because normally when you're with a woman, you feel...
No, in a dream, I'm always hesitant too. I'm always in a dream. I'm always like, she's not going to want me. I don't look right. I've always got these reasons that she... In this particular case, I didn't have any of that. She was there. I was there. We were simply together.
All right. I just want to remind everybody here that a dream happens in a relationship of juxtaposing the thoughts that we have about our physical reality now with the thoughts that we're going to have about our physical reality in the future time, maybe in 10 minutes from now, maybe tomorrow, maybe next week.
See, Tom got bit by a dog, and I hope this thing comes true. he's telling me the dream's going to come true.
I know. You don't worry, John. That's because...
I'm hoping this thing
That's goes. Because Dominic had a much stronger desire than you do.
Yeah, he wanted to get bit by a dog.
Pump
on my desire.
But Jonathan has got... Dominic has got kind of stilettos and rifles and pistols and everything. He's waiting for this monster to come.
I gotta get prepared myself.
He's really expecting it. Talk about paranoid, you know. I mean, you know how you said you're a little bit paranoid about these people? He's got a Leo governor too.
Oh.
Yeah, he has a Leo rising sign.
Oh. Wow.
Yeah.
And he's got weapons to back it up.
And he's got weapons to prove it, yeah, exactly. My God, he's going to deal with it.
Yeah.
Well, the one world government is coming.
I shoot guns.
Huh?
I shoot guns.
I can't hear you.
Do you?
I shoot guns, pistols, yeah.
You keep a gun.
Right.
I have guns and I shoot pistols.
Hey, I'll show you one I just bought.
Yeah? Well, yeah.
You guys can compare guns later. But right now, open that door. Why have we got the thing closed up?
Because it was cold this morning.
Because I was taking care of you.
Thank you. It's a little bit on the warm side.
Yeah, okay.
I agree.
I was waiting.
I didn't want to freeze Melanie.
Well, Melanie's not here, so we can do what we want.
So we can freeze.
That's coming back to me.
Are you okay, Aaron, if we open up?
Oh, yeah. I'm warm now.
So, okay, good.
This couch.
So now, go ahead, close it.
Open that one.
That was too much, Jonathan?
I'm a carpenter. Yeah, this guy insulting my profession.
Okay.
As a camera maker, you probably take offense at that inability to cut a piece of wood.
Okay, but, so So here we go. Now, I have an advantage because I know that the guy in the bed is thinking Aries. And I know that the woman in the bed is thinking Taurus. Right? She's a peer. She's not an authority figure.
Right.
She's a peer. Okay. Approximately the same age.
Well, yeah, a little younger, but the same age group.
Yeah, same age bracket. Okay, so she's a peer. And so I know that she's thinking Taurus. Now, he says, I'm waiting for some input from her. I want to know what she wants. Right? He says this. Now, does he really expect for her to tell him? If a guy is in bed with a woman, and the guy says to her, what do you want me to do? Is she going to tell him what she wants?
I wanted encouragement. Like, I wanted to go slow. I wanted her to, like, give me some little sign. I didn't want to say, do this.
I know. But,
yeah, here's what I
But
saying.
If the guy says to her, if the guy says to her,
could you give me a little indication of where you're at and where we should start?
I'm out of here.
And so on.
Goodbye.
So what do you think the chances are that she's going to tell him the truth about how she really feels?
0 to 1.
She ain't going to tell him nothing. No. Why not?
She wants him to give to
because
her.
She needs for him to know that on his own.
Part of the thrill.
Okay, now, if a guy starts out on a woman, I can talk like this, can I?
Starts out on a woman.
You've been around, you've got
this thing on?
Kids. Oh, shit. Had a couple of husbands.
When you send it to Phil, you have to send over security.
You know what this is all about.
It can't be broken.
I know
what it's all about okay. Also. So he starts out.
Yeah, jump.
And he touches her in the wrong place, or he touches her in the wrong way, or he speaks to her in the wrong way, or something like that. Is she going to tell him?
Maybe.
What he's doing that she doesn't like?
Probably.
He says probably. Okay. Now, do you think that she's going to tell him, Dominic?
Maybe not verbally, but in some way she'll tell him.
Okay, Ramdas, what do you say?
In some way, maybe not verbally.
She'll let him know.
She'll respond in some way.
That she doesn't like it.
She can't help it.
What do you say, Phil?
She might not say it verbally, but you can hope. He'll be able to tell by how she responds or not.
I'm going to make a joke, but I won't.
Yeah. Okay. No, hold on a second. Phil says he'll be able to tell by the way that she responds. Okay, so is she letting him know that she does or doesn't like it?
I guess not. He's letting.
Okay, now it depends. The answer to this question depends on whether the moon is expressive or receptive. In Jonathan, the moon is expressive. So he's expecting her to say, hey, listen, that isn't what I want. This is what I want.
No.
I mean, not...
Oh, that feeds on indication.
And
so it should be.
Your moon,
in the dream.
Your moon is expressive, too.
Yeah.
And so now, Jonathan is sitting here in a situation with a woman in bed. And he needs to know something that's going on inside of her. Right?
Yeah.
So he's not doing the Aries thing with her. He's intuiting that he needs to know something about her that he doesn't know. This is an intuition.
Wow.
This is a turning point in the dream. Wow. He's going to get access to that knowledge through Libra. Not through Aries. He can't ask her, okay, how should we start? What do you want to do here? Right?
You've got to know it.
I feel it out.
Yeah.
Well,
and,
Anyway, okay.
We got it there.
What?
Feel it out.
The first time you have to. The first time is what I'm talking about because
you don't. You haven't ever been with her before.
This is the first time.
You don't know her. Oh.
Yeah. So you know. In other words, once you know, you're in a rhythm. You're
right.
But the first time is when it requires more subtle communication and you know you have to you know kind of you don't want to push yourself on anyone. You don't want to. You want to. It's like a dance, but after you know. It was the first time.
No, you want to push yourself on her.
The first time?
You know what she
is. I made that mistake, man. Whenever a woman says no...
You say you want to push yourself onto her?
He's got to know what she needs.
Oh, shit. See,
okay.
That's what I'm...
Is that Aries or just...
Okay.
I'm not...
For the sake of the Jonathan and the fact that it's his dream and everything, and he's here with this woman, and we got her on hold, and she's waiting, you know, to move forward. We should get on with the deal.
Put a fake name in there on the tape. Some guy named ZZ.
So, Jonathan says, I need
some kind of an indication to know where she's at, what's going on with her.
Positive feedback.
Okay. And so my thing as a dream worker, cognitive dream work, where I'm interested in the paradox in the dream, that Jonathan is in a situation where he thinks that he doesn't look right, and that a woman isn't interested in him. Because the only reason I'm saying that is because you've said it.
Right.
Okay? That there's something blocking her access to him, and it has to do with her ability to communicate with him and with how he looks. Okay. Now look. God gives you a dream in which there's a woman in the dream. All right? Is she brought there for a reason?
Yes.
And that reason isn't to turn the light off, to turn the light on and leave, right?
No.
It's to proceed with what normally happens between a man and a woman in bed. You have an idea what that is, don't you, Rhonda?
I vaguely remember.
Yeah, you
search your ancient memory.
Back in the days when. Okay, yeah. So then, now, when you're having the intuition, I don't know how to proceed. I don't know what the first thing is for me to do. And you're looking for her to manifest something. You're looking for her to give you a sign.
Positive feedback, yeah.
Positive. Now, feedback is response to something. But you're not giving her anything to respond to. You're not...
I was at my mouth was at her lower belly region.
Okay.
I wanted her... I had to leave. I came back. And I was looking for something to say,
do it again.
Continue, yeah. Something to indicate that my coming back was welcomed. And I sort of knew, but I was sort of looking also.
So then what I need to do here, see, is I need to just ask you. I need to titillate your access to your intuition.
All right.
By saying to you, what does she need?
Need?
What? Yeah.
Well, she needs anything.
He went, you didn't say what he did. He said, needs?
She wants. She wants to be...
No, what does she need? Okay, in the situation...
She needs me to be there with her.
In this situation, right there...
Yeah.
The two of you are together. Both of you have needs.
Right.
She needs for you to be there for her. Okay. Now, I don't know what that means. I don't know what it means for you to be there for her. Do you?
Yeah.
Okay. Then, do you know how to go about being there for her?
Yes.
You do?
Yes.
All right, good. Then, what do you need from her?
I need for her to be present there with me, and not just, I need it to be a partnership, not me just simply giving to her.
Now when you get the whole picture of all of this, that you're looking for communication,
right,
of give and take between you and her,
exactly,
where both of you are present and equally giving and equally receiving.
Sounds good, man.
Huh?
Yeah, sounds good.
And an interchange.
Yeah, not like, yeah. I'm looking for energy. Yeah.
I'm doing okay so
yeah,
far.
You're articulating it very well. You're not saying, Jonathan, you want to, that's what you want. She wants it for you to get it from her. you didn't go in that direction. Like other people who are, would not understand the subtleties.
The only reason that I'm able to talk the way that I am is because I know about expressive and receptive identity types, and that it's about giving and receiving, and that the expressive wants to receive from the person that he chooses, and that the receptive wants to give to the person that he or she chooses under the circumstances and everything. So expressive and receptive are about giving and receiving, but it has to be done in such a way that it's pleasing. The giving and the receiving are pleasing to both parties at the same time. So to make all of that happen is sort of as difficult as it is to get two chemicals to go through a transformation in a quantitative analysis laboratory. You know, you can put two chemicals together in a test tube and nothing happens. You have to sometimes put a catalyst in there. You sometimes have to apply heat. You sometimes have to do other things in order to get these two chemicals to interact with each other. So a man and a woman in bed are not necessarily going to do the thing for each other that is pleasing to them. They have to have a knowledge of how to do that. And in order to do that, he has to know who she is and what she wants. And he also has to know who he is and what he wants. And he also has to know, what am I willing to give and what am I not willing to give? And what is she willing to receive and what is she willing not to receive? And so on and so forth. So all of that knowledge has to be present in order to make this a successful coming together. So how do you get that? He's in control. Why? Because he's the man and he is the identity inside of the body. The woman inside the woman in the dream only represents his dreaming state. In the same way that the guy in your dream represented the town, it represents the causal body, the Leo causal body. In this dream, she represents the emotional dreaming state, but her attitude is Taurus, bidirectional will. Okay. Now, I can't ask her to come and approach him with the Scorpio attitude because she doesn't have the ability to do that because there's no I in there that I can direct. But I can direct the I in his waking state to consider the dynamic that's going on between the Aries and the Libra and for what that means to him. Because he's the one who's going to unlock the whole mystery of how to make this whole chemical reaction take place in there. Jiminy, I wish I had that recorded. That was pretty good.
It is recorded. Yeah, we got it.
Maybe transcribed.
We got it.
Yeah,
we got it, man.
Okay, you'll transcribe it, right, Bill? Okay, we'll send it to
we got it trapped.
We'll send it
I
to you.
I can send them for well, at least one, and then...
Okay, so anyway, Jonathan, while I'm saying this, I hope you've been watching your dream, yourself in your relationship to the woman. Mm-hmm. What does she look like?
She looks good.
That, now, good to me, a good-looking woman to me is different than a good-looking woman to you.
So I mean, what? Actually, she's. I mean, I've seen a couple women in the last couple of days. You know, she seems to be like almost the combination of the two. She looks like a woman I saw at the festival yesterday.
Looks like what?
A woman I saw at the festival yesterday.
Okay.
And
okay.
Yeah.
And how is the appearance in her eye?
Very nice.
What is she interested in?
Adoring me.
Okay, very good.
I got a videotape of her on this thing. In fact, I showed someone last night, and this is my new girlfriend, and he got all creative. And no, I just talked to her. She's not a girlfriend.
Okay.
I just
So what more could a man want, right, than a woman who wants to adore him? Okay. God. Do you want to adore her?
Do I want to? Yeah. I mean,
okay, good. We got something going here then. Let's keep moving. Good, all right. So now, in order for her to be able to adore you, what does she need from you?
I guess for me to adore.
In order for her to be able to adore you.
She needs to know that I adore her and I'm present. That's what I...
Okay. Now, are you seeing? Are you getting the picture? She needs... I need for her to adore me. What does she need? She needs to know that I adore her. How can a woman resist a man who adores her?
They can. Huh? They've been known to. Believe me.
Well, I have experienced even younger women unable to resist an older man who adores them.
I'm not at that level.
So, I mean, adoration is a pretty powerful...
Yes, it is. Definitely
ingredient in any kind of a condition.
Very powerful.
So, do you adore her?
Yes.
In the dream?
Yes, I adore her in the dream.
Are you willing to demonstrate this adoration, to give her your adoration?
Sure.
Okay, now, Jonathan, words are cheap.
No. Dude, I was trying to get back to that sleep I was really trying to get back to
that. Anybody can say anything they want.
No, I'm serious.
But for you to give it to her, okay. I mean the adoration.
I mean, I don't know. Yeah, you're right. I mean, it's not totally.
It requires a self-sacrifice.
I'm not sure, yeah. I guess I want to adore her on my terms.
Yeah, are you willing to pay the child support if a baby is born out of this?
That's where I draw the line. That's where the adoration...
Okay.
Well, I'm not sure. Why does a kid always have to come? All right, no, I don't... Hey. I'm not at that point. Okay.
Hey, Jonathan.
I don't know. I don't know if I adore her that much.
Jonathan, listen. I have to ask you the questions that I'm told to ask you, okay? I'm not doing this on my own.
I could adore the woman.
Here comes the jackhammer.
I don't want to have kids, but I could
adore
her.
That's when you know to watch out, right? He's not responsible.
I don't want to.
Yeah, I am. Okay, are you willing to adore her?
Yes.
Ad infinitum.
Ad infinitum until I'm nauseous? Oh, ad infinitum? Oh, no, you just say ad nauseum. Yeah. Ad infinitum. I don't know, probably not.
Are you willing to adore her?
Yes, at this moment.
Okay. Do you notice a resistance inside of your belly?
It has to do with the future. It has to do with,
because it is the future. You're
creating. Adore you now, we're here together, let's adore you, and then the future kind of...
You're creating the future here through your access to your intuition. Your intuition is trying to guide you into the future.
All right.
Okay. Or do you want a future?
Yes.
Do you want to know the answers to your question?
Yes.
About what to do and how to proceed.
That would be nice.
In your life. It would be nice?
Yes, that would be nice.
Is that all? It would be nice?
Yeah, I'm not fiery. Like, I must know. A general guidance.
Okay, well, maybe God will come and give you a lukewarm or a cool answer then, yeah, if you're not fiery. And
I feel like I'm content, but I'm not. I'm content, but I feel like I need more direction.
Okay, are you willing to make a commitment to this woman?
How long?
For as long as you live.
Oh, boy.
I don't know. I haven't even, you know, consummated the deal yet.
She's your emotional mind, Jonathan. Okay. You're going to live with her forever.
Okay. Yeah, no. Okay, the woman, okay. All right. But I got this other woman in my head now, what she looks like.
Yeah, that's
fine. I don't even know this other person.
That's fine. So,
I mean, so now I'm thinking that this woman looks like some... I'm thinking, do I want a lifelong commitment to this woman who I don't know?
Okay. So I think that they're probably not different.
Okay. Not different?
I think they're probably not different. Yeah, that if you can love this woman in bed, that's in bed with you, that you can love her also.
Just like me with the
Exactly. Because the one who's in bed with you is your own emotional mind.
Right,
and in order for you to connect with this woman who you saw at the
festival,
you have to connect with your own emotional mind.
Change the inner and the outer will change. Change the inner and the outer will change.
Yeah. So that there's a communication on a bigger area. Okay, so what does she need, Jonathan, besides to know that you adore her?
Stability. She needs to know that I'm going to be there.
Okay, that you're going to be there. So you hear what I'm saying, why I'm leading into this? She wants to know that you're there for her, that this isn't a one-night stand, that you're just using her and throwing her out. Onto the garbage heap,
I've never done
or onto the pile of women that you've got out that down in the alley that
notch
you've been
on, notch
using
on,
all
notch
of these
on
years.
The headboard.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's tough. It's easier to be in the moment than commit to an unknown.
Okay, what can you speak up?
Yeah, okay.
What do you feel in your belly? Are you willing to adore her?
Yeah, but what if she changes?
What if she changes?
Yeah.
No, you're the one who changes.
Oh.
Not her. She has
She's
to be
fine.
Worried about whether you change or not.
Oh, yeah, okay. No, yeah. I'm willing.
Okay, then if you're worried about whether she's going to change.
No, I'm not worried about that, no.
That means that you're not.
I'm not worried.
Okay, but I want you to be concerned about the essence of
I her. Might change, you're right. I might get bored. I might get tired.
Look at the essence of who she is, and look at the essence of who you are, and answer the question, is she essentially interested in you?
Essentially interested in me? Does she want to be with me?
From the perspective of her as the essence of who she is. Is she interested in you in the essence of who you are? And vice versa?
As far as I can tell, yes.
Okay, good. Now, you understand why I'm saying it that way?
Not exactly.
Did I hear a bell?
Yeah, someone's coming in.
Melanie.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. We'll wait till the dean's over.
I believe it is Melanie.
Good. Have her wait until the finish.
Do you want to ask her?
Yes, we're waiting until the dean.
Okay, go ahead, Ramda. You can
part
do
that. Of the protocol that we have.
Yeah. Okay, so then look inside and tell me, are you willing to adore her?
Yes. I feel like I adore her.
Are you willing to demonstrate to her that you adore her?
Yes.
Okay. Are you concerned about whether she adores you or not?
The woman in life, she doesn't know me, but in the
dream... I can't hear you, John.
In the dream, she seems to adore me.
Are
you concerned? I'm not too concerned about it.
Pardon me?
She's there without clothes on.
Okay. You're not concerned about whether she adores you. You're concerned about whether you adore her.
I'm not that concerned that she seems like she adores me and I adore her.
Okay, then what does she look like? Can you tell me?
She's, what do you mean, dark hair? What does she look like? Exactly, a petite woman.
What do you see?
I see her eyes.
When you look at her knowing that you adore her, what do you
she's
see?
She's picking up that.
What do you see?
I see her eyes glowing.
Can you speak so I can hear you?
I see her eyes. They're open. They're just very... She wants to take in everything. She's putting out love and taking in at the same time.
Okay. What about the light switch?
What about it?
In the dream, you wanted to turn the lights off.
Yeah, but I couldn't.
Now what do you want to do? Do you want to turn the lights off now?
Not particularly.
Okay. Notice in the dream, you wanted the light to be off.
But now you want to be able to see what you're doing. You want the light on.
Right.
Okay, so that has changed at least that much of it.
Right.
What is the size of her body right now?
Same size. Maybe a little bigger. Petite. Same size.
Are you hard-headed, Jonathan?
What? Is she supposed to grow or shrink? What's supposed to happen?
Only certain parts.
Yeah, what's supposed to, yeah, I mean, she's well-proportioned. Everything's the right size. Don't need to change. Don't screw with nature. Don't screw with what God's created. She's looking good.
How are you?
I'm feeling good.
Okay. What's
I'm kind of getting like, you know, hey, this is pretty cool.
Yeah. So what do you want to give her in a way that's going to be a sacrifice to you?
See, there's the rub there.
No kidding. We're getting close to it now.
Here's the rub, buddy. Sex, have fun, let's enjoy ourselves, live in the moment. That's not difficult.
Okay, what's this really about?
This is the future. Commitment to the future. That's not easy to give.
Huh?
That's the difficulty. Commitment to the unknown future. Yes.
Okay, are you willing to make a commitment to her?
Yes.
You are?
But it's scary because I don't know what the hell's going on.
Okay, good. We're getting closer. It's necessary to go this way, into the future kind of thing, to get beyond the present moment. Do you understand why?
Not exactly.
Because the intuition is leading you into the future. And your relationship with women is right now. Right? But your relationship with God is also leading you into the future, and you're looking for a future kind of orientation. You want to see a path, you want to see a tendency, you want to see a developmental process unfolding. And in order to do that, you have to be willing to enter into a developmental process with this woman in the dream.
In the dream. I keep going to the real woman who I don't know.
You enter into a developmental process between you and the woman in the dream, and you can enter into a developmental process with a woman outside of the dream. But anyway, it's important that it happen inside of your own psyche. Okay, so here she is, and all she does is she represents your own emotional body.
Right.
And the question that I asked you just a moment ago, of whether you're willing to make a future commitment to her or not, the answer to that question is what?
Yes.
Yes, okay. Now when you say, yes, I'm willing to make a future commitment, I want you to tell me about the resistance that you're feeling in your belly.
Well, you know, might not work out. She might get boring after a while. Things might. I might get bored.
Okay. Now, if you stop and think about.
I don't know if I can handle all the chit chat necessary for a relationship.
Let's translate all of that.
You just want sex.
What did you say?
Let's translate all of what you just said into God's relationship with you. I don't know whether I want to make a long-term commitment with this guy or not, because I'm not. I don't know whether he'll change his mind. I don't know whether I'm going to be interested in all the shit that he has to say about being in a spiritual relationship here with eternity and all the chit-chat that's going to grow out of that.
Brilliant.
I guess I'm screwed.
All the books that he's going to want to write about in
that are going to bore me.
That's not what you mean. It's so important to write. Help everybody. That's your thing, man. Goes around, comes around.
Okay. Now, Jonathan, it's very good. I'm happy that you are willing to be frank like this and just put it out there. Because this is the only way that we can ever do dream work.
Bravo.
And Bravo. We can only do it if we're... like, I'm completely honest with you. I tell you everything that I think. And everything that I feel. And you have to do the same with me, and you're doing that. And so thank you for that. So what I want to do now is say... this concern about the future and whether you're going to be able to stick with it is the reaction that you're bringing to stop this whole process in the moment, in the present moment. You're never going to be able to get this process going right here in the present moment until you're willing to let go of your concern for the future. I'm willing to do this with her now if I know that my future is going to play out like that. That doesn't work like that. The future is always unknown to all of us, including Shiva. He's got lots of experience. He's seen it play out, you know, hundreds of billions of times in hundreds of billions of universes. But right now, what's going on between you and him, he doesn't know this because he hasn't ever been in this situation with himself before like he is with you right now. So he has no idea where this is going to go. And you have no way of knowing also what's going to happen between you and her. You have to be willing to make that commitment now in order to even be able to experience that. Right? Now... a Libra doesn't want to make a commitment. You know why? Because they think that it's forever. A Libra never wants to make a decision. Say, I'm going to go with this, because they're afraid that it's going to be forever. But you're Aries. You're identified with Aries. Aries is used to making decisions and working it out. And, oh, this doesn't work. Oh, this doesn't work. Oh, that doesn't work.
Yeah, but when you
throw it out. Throw it out. Go on, move on to the next thing, right?
Not so easy with another person.
Yeah.
You can't just commit.
That's the hardest.
Yeah, it's difficult.
Hey, Jonathan, can I tell you something?
Yeah.
It's easy with another person, too.
It's easy to make a commitment and not keep
it's
it.
It's easy to make a commitment and then change
right.
it.
Hey, that's right.
People do it all the time. I'm a bachelor now for the eighth time.
Well, you've got more experience than me.
A bachelor now for the first time, except that he's had probably 45 different girlfriends.
45?
You're, I had two marriages. Now.
You've been married twice? Yeah.
I guess you guys can miss me. I can...
You've been through it. You've been through it. You know, you haven't ever gotten married yet, but you know, we're not asking you to marry this girl. We're just asking you to see whether you're willing to overcome, to throw the concern for the future out the window.
I mean, I'm the only one in this room who hasn't had premarital sex. I've not had premarital sex ever. I've never had premarital sex.
No, because you've never been married.
Right, so yeah, only yeah. people have. I yeah. haven't. I'm the only one
right,
that...
Right, right. And you don't want to have... And what you're saying is you
I'm not married yet. The only one I get married is a premarital.
You don't want to have premarital sex either, right?
Well, I don't know.
Depends on... Right, he's never going to have premarital sex.
I've never had premarital. If I get married, then all the sex I've had is premarital.
It's going to be premarital, yeah.
That's the end of my reputation. Anyway, my Swamihood, I can't be a guru now. Anyway, okay. So.
Okay, so here we are. Let's go with this now.
Okay.
Here she is. Are you willing to make the commitment to her?
Yes.
She's looking to you to make a commitment to her.
All right.
Okay. And she wants to know that you adore her and that you adore her unconditionally. with no limit, unbounded, that your adoration is unbounded.
Right then and there or forever?
Yeah, right then and there.
Okay.
That I have no, and I'm not concerned about whether she's going to be boring and whether she's going to be chit-chatting, too much for me, and so on and so forth.
I'm on board with you.
Okay, is she changing yet? Or does she still look the same?
She's looking good. I don't want her to change that much.
Is she looking better than she did in the dream?
She's looking good. Oh, in the dream I didn't have a clear view of her. Now, through the process, the face has come. In the dream I didn't see a face. I said a petite body. I didn't see a face.
Okay.
I see a face.
What do you see now?
No, a glowing face. The eyes are just
okay.
Angelic looking.
And even if you turned the lights off, the room would still be lit up.
Yeah, she's like
with
very
her
angelic.
Face.
Just this kind of.
Okay. Well, I think that we've accomplished enough.
Yeah. Dude, here. Not yet.
Yeah.
Okay.
No kidding. I'll show you the video later.
Just getting warmed up, huh, Jonathan?
We'll continue this session later. Okay, yeah.
We can do this.
Yeah, I know.
We can do it on the telephone later. Yeah. Phone sex.
I don't know if
no,
I can
but
get
you
out.
Do call me, Aaron. Call me soon.
Can you
tomorrow
get out?
Or something.
I don't think I'm. Oh, am I blocking you?
I was going to.
Oh, no.
I could get out to the side.
No, I'll block.
But,
I'll take it.
But somebody's on the side, right?
Oh, you're behind me?
Yeah.
The whole driveway's probably.
You're trying. Yeah. Oh,
hey,
yeah.
The place is
jumping.
Yeah.
It's life changing.
Yeah.
Really,
yeah. We're going to finish it, though. We're going to get to the bottom of this. Yeah. I know that we can get to the, you and I can get to the bottom of this.
I've been struggling with it for years. And I know this is the cause, because when I started having problems with Emma, it was right after that I got.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay, we're on our way.
Soon, everybody.
Yeah.
It was fun. When we got
last.
When we got.
That was great.
Hi, Melanie.
Come on in, Melanie.
You too. I'll talk to you soon. I'll call you.
Pardon me? Well, you should have been here for the one
I'll
who
was listen to the rest of the stuff. Yeah, okay. Well, maybe I'll
call
you. They watched me how hard it is.
She's a little show off the auditory code.
Sorry, so late.
Things are cooking today,
right?
Good.
Was that meaningful for you?
Sorry, I'm
yes.
Me too. Big time.
I was thinking, once I get my.
I yeah. still haven't worked it out in my brain. But
yeah.
It's a little awkward for you to come over.
But it is connected to the waking state, you know? You can overcome inside, then the waking state follows along, you know?
Yeah. Then we project that stuff outside instead of this stuff.
Yes. I mean, I'm still striking out with the will.
That'd be a great dream to request.
Yeah.
What do I need to know, what do I need to do in order to relate really well with women?
Well, I already know what that is because my identity type is Gemini receptive. So I need to make the intention to ask a woman inside, to ask a woman, but not say it to her, but say, what are you going to do for me? See, I don't know how to do that. You know?
Oh, is somebody sitting here?
There's a...
Hi, Melanie.
Hi.
There again, there's a request.
Right.
And then you have the grace behind it, too.
Yes.
It isn't just me trying to do this.
Yes. Excellent. I will do that tonight. I'm going to write the request.
Because
it'll become more solid.
Yes.
And more evident, I think, through a dream.
Yes.
Well, maybe more specific.
When I first started doing these dreams, I'm the opposite. I have to sacrifice something because I always know how to ask for what I want.
Right.
I'm an expressive type. But it used to be hard for me, and then I forgot the point.